KOW is the record. I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in today. When you move into a rental, you pay for a bunch of different things: cleaning, security deposits, first and last month's rent. They're called move-in fees. And if you don't have thousands of dollars on hand for those fees, you don't get the apartment. But the Seattle City Council passed a law in December that capped some of those fees and allowed an installment plan for others. Now, some landlords have sued to challenge that law. The landlord group that filed the lawsuit is called the Rental Housing Association of Washington, and the board president is Sean Flynn. Hi, Sean.
Hi.
Why did you decide to file this lawsuit?
Well, we took a long time to make a decision about this, and we took it very seriously. We filed the lawsuit because all other means of redress were proved to be ineffective.
What's the problem in your view?
The problem is that this ordinance goes to the very heart of the way small property owners mitigate their risk. And for a small property owner, there's fundamentally two ways you mitigate your risk. It's with a security deposit and last month's rent. We can talk about fees in a minute, but for your mom and pops, especially, for example, our organization represents roughly 5,400 mom and pop landlords. Our average member has less than three units. So we are, we're your coworker, we're your parents, we're members of your community. We are not large pension funds out of Milwaukee or New York.
And you need these fees
to mitigate our risk. And so we don't have teams of lawyers, and we don't have thousands of units to spread the risk across. Mm-hmm. And so if things go wrong in a tenancy, if the tenant doesn't comply with the lease terms, or we have to run an eviction, or they light my house on fire, I'm left with very little recourse. And what this ordinance does is it goes to the heart of the way we mitigate risk in our business. And what it does is it's forcing, it's having unintended but foreseen consequences in the housing market. It's forcing rents up, and it's forcing rental criteria to be increased.
Okay.
In order to mitigate your risk, because if I can't mitigate my risk through the way I usually did, and was customary in the market, landlords are now going to higher credit scores and higher rents.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll get into some of this, because also with us is the executive director at the Tenants Union of Washington State, Jessa Lewis. Hello.
Hello.
You heard why Sean wanted to file this lawsuit. Why do you think the city needs this ordinance to cap move-in fees and allow installment payments on others?
What I'm confused about is that this was represented as a form of rent control or setting the rent prices, and that is not it at all. All it is setting, because what we were seeing with the people who are calling or coming into our offices was that they were seeing the move-in fees become extravagant. They were seeing additional fees, like repainting fees and all these other things that were being added on top of the normal cost of moving in. So what the cap did was set which were the reasonable fees that someone should be charged, and they still can be set by the landlord and they still need to be agreed to in the lease as far as that they sign, yes, there will be a $400 non-refundable cleaning deposit. All of that's still in there. So the protections for the landlords are still there. But we're just saying what type of fees are reasonable, and then also the payment. I mean, it's a practice I've experienced myself when I couldn't afford the move-in, to where they're like, okay, you can pay a set amount over 6 months. This is something I've seen. It's common. It's experienced. And what it does is allow single parents, retirees, people on fixed incomes to be able to access a place of their own.
Are you looking at the other side of the equation, which is the occasion, very often small business person who, as Sean says, they know what's reasonable because they know where their risks lie, and they're trying to mitigate their risk the same way any business person does?
Well, definitely. And right now we're looking at that. We're in a housing crisis in Seattle, and there's no perfect solution. So we're trying to just find what is the solution with the least amount of harm. And that is what we're advocating for. On the cover of the Seattle Times today, you're seeing a record, both record amounts of people who are homeless dying and record amounts, the housing boom. And that's something to where what we're seeing, the amount of pressure that we're trying to figure out how to keep Seattle from going into, you know, we joked about in the waiting room, the death spiral that you're seeing in New York and San Francisco. So we're trying to figure out how to avoid it.
Well, you heard Sean say that he thinks there are unintended consequences, that what happens then is landlords can't mitigate the risk that way with those fees. So prices, rents go up, and they instead require higher, for example, credit scores to be able to screen people, toughen their requirements that way. Do you agree that that's even happening?
Well, we're seeing a lot of things right now, and it's hard to, when you have so many variables, isolate which are the variables which are directly responsible for what we're seeing right now. You know, and there may be good landlords, but there's also, we see quite a few who come through who are charging these exorbitant fees that people are just struggling in order to pay. And I know I've encountered them myself as a renter in Seattle. You know, you have over half of the city is renters, and until we get more housing stock online and figure out what we can do in order to make the city more livable, we're doing what we can in order to make it as fair as we can for people who are struggling. I mean, it comes to the fact of, like, do you see housing as a right?
I think I just heard an area of agreement. You just talked about more housing stock. I'm guessing, Sean, you feel the same way.
I agree. And what
you would like there to be more units.
I would love there to be more units. I would love there to be more small landlords. I think small landlords are a pivotal part of the heart of Seattle.
Why do renters care whether their landlord's big or small?
Well, I'll tell you why, because there's a fundamental difference in the relationship between a small independent landlord and their tenant and a large massive property management company that's managing an asset for an out-of-state corporation. The policies are different. Seattle traditionally has been mostly is small independent landlords.
And you think a cap on fees is driving those small landlords
out? I know it is. I get calls from members every day who own a duplex in Ballard and say, you know what, the ordinances that the city has handed down, there's been 8 ordinances over the last 2 years that have created a bureaucratic spider web and a regulatory nightmare for these small independent landlords. And what they're saying is, I can't do it anymore. I don't have a team of lawyers. I can't pay someone to help me navigate through this. I'm going to sell. And what happens then is that duplex in Ballard doesn't get sold to another landlord. It gets sold to a developer, right, who's going to scrape it and is going to put up 9 new fancy townhomes at $1 million a piece. And that's 2 affordable units that are gone for the market forever.
Jessa, do you agree that that's happening?
Well, I would definitely, this is something I'm looking into. And, you know, and anytime, you know, there's a dance between the consumers and the providers. Everyone says it's going to be too much, it's going to be too much, it's going to be too much. So what I appreciate is that the city is looking into what are some of the solutions that can be done as far as development and their process. And one of the things that I'm encouraged that they're looking into, which I think feeds into an area we agree on, is more accessory dwelling units and mother-in-laws. And what we can do as far as creating more housing options as far as like triplexes and upzoning in a way to where we're looking at not displacing people, but also creating an environment to where both of our needs can be met.
Sean, would you agree that higher move-in fees are being a part of the problem of people being displaced? That whether it's, you know, a free market reality or not, that move-in fees are part of the problem?
For my membership, what I've seen is since this ordinance has passed is that move-in fees have gone up.
How does that happen?
The way the ordinance works is that you're allowed to take you're capped at 1 month's rent, okay? And if you take last month's rent, you've got to structure it over 6 months. You basically have to make a loan to your tenant over 6 months. And so what traditionally, in fact, the tenants union's own website directs their members to seek out smaller landlords because we're easier to deal with. And we're more likely in the past to have made exceptions to policies. What this ordinance does, coupled with the other ordinance that have been passed, it doesn't allow a landlord to make any exceptions. And what happens is when if traditionally a landlord maybe took last month's rent and a $500 deposit, now they're taking a full month's rent and deposit, right? So what's sad about this ordinance is that it's having all of the opposite effects. It's constricting supply and it's pushing fees up. And beyond that, it's moving minimum criteria up. So unless you have a pristine credit score, your average member isn't going to take the risk on you because they have no mitigation policy.
Jessa, is there any better way to construct this cap on move-in fees? Or do you think it's working just as intended?
From what I'm hearing, it is helping people in the city move into homes that otherwise they couldn't just because of the first, last, and all of these fees that they're able to pay it over a set amount of months. And I think that was definitely a victory for renters in Seattle. And that's something to where the landlords are still getting their money. They're just getting it in a way To where people who may not have been able to afford to move in otherwise are actually able to.
Okay, so what happens next with this lawsuit? Listeners might want to know, all right, what how's this story going to unfold?
Well, we filed the lawsuit yesterday,
yeah,
and the wheels of justice grind slowly.
Mm-hmm.
So we will we'll expect probably something in the next 6 to 9 months.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any final words, Jess?
Well, I'm just excited that we're starting to really seriously as a city have a conversation on what the future of affordable housing looks like. And the fact that everyone who's running for office said this has to be a major portion of their platform. And I look forward to having continued discussions on what we need to do in order to solve the issues that are facing Seattle.
And we're going to keep talking about affordability, but in the International District, which is changing quite a bit. That's coming up in a moment. I've been talking with Sean Flynn, board president of the Rental Housing Association of Washington. They filed this lawsuit challenging Seattle's ordinance capping some move-in fees. And Jessa Lewis, executive director of the Tenants Union of Washington State. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you so much.
What about you, renter or landlord? Do you have your own tales of woe? Or maybe something has worked out well. You've seen a model in this city or another one. How have move-in fees affected you? We'd like to hear your version of this story. Give us a call at 206-221-3663. 221-3663. Write to us, record@kuow.org, record@kuow.org, and we're on Twitter @KUOW.